Several years ago, there was a study conducted in England of mothers and their babies. And they recorded 31 newborn infants crying, and they had 24 mothers. Now, if you do the math, either a lot of those mothers had twins, or they recorded some extra babies in there for kind of a what they call a control. And in the first 2 days, 12 out of the 23 mothers were able to recognize the cry of their very own baby just by the recording. And at the end of the second day, all of them, every last one of those mothers, could recognize the cry of their child. And I was really struck by that study because it speaks to the ear that God has for you, how he hears the cry of his people. Jesus says in the gospel today that his sheep, that's you, hear his voice and follow him. So even more sensitive than the ear of a loving mother to her newborn baby is the ear of a Savior and a shepherd for his sheep. But our Catholic faith is not just a religion. It's not an obligation, like some of us treat it to be. It's not a self-help group. It's about something much deeper, and that is intimacy. The intimacy between a mother and her newborn baby, between Father and Son and Holy Spirit, the intimacy of man and wife. One of my favorite psalms in all of Scripture is Psalm 139. It says, I knit you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I knew you. And our second reading in Gospel today, it's interesting, describe Jesus as both shepherd and the lamb. In the Gospel, he's the shepherd. In the second reading, he's the lamb. You see, one of the first things we learn about intimacy, especially intimacy with God, is that God has already been intimate with us by Jesus becoming one of his creatures. By God becoming one of his creatures. Imagine if you're walking outside here and you see a little yucky little bug running across the sidewalk, and if your tendency is like mine, you want to step on it and squish it and eradicate the world of yucky bugs. And what if you decided, because you wanted to sympathize with the plight of those poor little bugs, to become one of them and to live your life in threat of a size 13 shoe coming down on your head? It wouldn't be easy. And yet, that is the same, analogously, the same decision that God made to become a little insignificant creature out of love for them. He is both shepherd and one of the sheep. And his intimacy comes with not distancing himself from his creature. And I know there's so many mornings I wake up, guys, and I feel distant from God. How many of you experience that throughout your days? You feel distant from God. And one of the things, one of the starts, every day I have to remember this, that he is near me. And I start by remembering that he became just like me. That maybe he even woke up on some days and felt distant from his Father. Why would he go out early in the morning to a mountaintop to pray so often in Scriptures? Because maybe he woke up in the morning and didn't feel God as near to him as he would like to be. There's a beautiful song. We may even sing it today. I don't know if it's on the schedule. But it's called You Are Mine. And it's one of Ben, I had it even sung at my first Mass because it's one of my favorite hymns. And it says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have called you and you are mine. And guys, that's exactly how near to you God wants to be. That he calls you his own. In the Gospel today, you're described as being in the hand of God. that means he loves you very much, has drawn you near to himself. But you see, intimacy with God is more than just him becoming intimate with us. Because we are creatures with free will, we must also choose to become intimate with him. And intimate meaning more than being Catholic, more than coming to Mass. There's a story in Matthew 7 where a guy dies and he goes before God in judgment. And God says that, you know, I'm sorry, you're not worthy of heaven. And he says, but God, I've served the poor. I've given tithes. You know, I've done all these great things. And God says, but you never knew me. You can do all sorts of things on the exterior as far as practicing your faith, coming to church, giving your tithe, showing up for this or that. But do you know God? And know in a very intimate and deep way. The way the Bible used to describe, I remember growing up hearing it at Mass, and it must have been between Bible translations, but they would say that in Genesis, Adam knew his wife. Of course, they were talking about their marital intimacy. But why did they use that word know? Why do they use it in the gospel? Because that's the depth of intimacy that God wants and desires with you. To know you so intimately as a man and a woman know each other in marriage. And marriage is one of the surest ways to God. You know, a lot of people look at priests or nuns and they think, oh, they're so holy and close to God, and I'm glad you think that, and I'm not going to dispel your illusion. I'll allow you to keep thinking that. And we should be. We should be good examples for our people, right? If we don't pray, how can we teach you to pray? But at the same time, I look back at Genesis and I hear those words over and over where God says, let us make man in our image, in the divine image he created them, male and female he created them. You guys, by being a man and a woman in a marriage, in a holy marriage, you in a very special way image God in this world. In other words, your kids look at mom and dad and they see God. For better or for worse, they see God in their mom and dad. This is why kids have so many issues growing up. Even with the best of mom and dads. Because we're meant to. That's the way God designed it, is that we would see God through our parents. But again, it's more than just God reaching out to us. It's also us reaching out to him. We can do this certainly through our vocation, whether it's marriage or celibacy. But we can do it on a much more practical and everyday, in a more practical and everyday way. Augustine was the one who said that ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of God. And so if you want to know God in intimacy, number one, you have to be reading a Bible every day. And I know I've talked about this before, but so many of you have still neglected to do it. Why do I know? Because, well, many of you have children in our school, and I talk to them, and God bless them. They're very honest about the things they do at home or don't do at home. You must be reading Scripture every day, even just a little bit. I would recommend for you the Psalms and the Synoptics. That's Matthew, Mark, and Luke. If you start anywhere in the Bible, do not start reading it from front to back. You will bail on the Bible at Leviticus. But read the Psalms and the Synoptics, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And then pray. Take just a little time to take that little snippet of Scripture and to just reflect on it with God. That right there, if done every day with regularity for 10 or 15 minutes, will help you to know God and to know him in a more intimate way. In our first reading, Paul and Barnabas are speaking to Jews and Gentiles in the synagogue. Now, you might expect them, they're out telling people about Jesus. You might expect them at the end of their speech to say, okay, now that you've all heard the word of God, why don't you become Christians? Let's baptize everybody, right? But no. It says that they urged them to remain faithful to the grace of God. In other words, they weren't so much interested in becoming part of a religion as they were getting people into a relationship with God. And certainly a good religion helps one do that. But for many of us, we use religion as an excuse for just doing the exterior things that make us feel comfortable with God, but never getting to know Him. Not in intimacy. And so today as you leave church, I hope you will define for yourself a goal. A goal each day to read the scriptures and to pray with them. And it may take different forms for each of you, but at least 10 or 15 minutes where you read the scriptures and pray with them. Because ignorance of scriptures is ignorance of God. And you have a shepherd who loves you so much that he wants not just a religion. He doesn't want you to just come to Mass and feel better or to come and worship him. He wants to know you with the intimacy of the spousal relationship.